It's Wednesday, the 3rd of June, and I've had the lamp on since well before first light, because yesterday was one of those days when the big platforms all moved at once. Some mornings, the news trickles in from the archive, one quiet paper at a time. Not today. Today it arrived in slabs. A keynote stage, an executive order, an enterprise pitch, and a security program. The shape of the industry shifted a little while most of us were asleep. Let me walk you through the four that mattered. First up is the story that rearranged everything else on my desk this morning. Microsoft has decided it wants to build the whole thing itself. At its Build conference, Satya Nadella and Mustafa Suleiman walked on stage and announced seven new in-house models. The MAI family, led by a flagship reasoning model they're calling MAI Thinking One. Around it sit MAI Code, one flash for programming, MAI Image 2.5 for pictures, MAI Transcribe 1.5 for speech, and MAI Voice 2 for synthesis, with two more models rounding out the base and multimodal slots. This comes barely a year after Microsoft shipped its very first homegrown model, so the jump from a single experiment to a full product line is the real headline. For most of this cycle, Microsoft has been understood as OpenAI's largest distribution channel, the company that sells you someone else's intelligence through Azure. Yesterday, it served notice that it intends to be judged as a model builder in its own right. What struck me most was that the models were only half the announcement. Microsoft paired them with its own training and inference chip, the Maia 200, with Azure and Foundry as the cloud layer, with a new Windows agent runtime baked into the operating system for long-running agents, and with the Copilot app, Visual Studio Code, and a command line as the places developers actually work. That is every layer of the stack, from silicon to editor, under one roof. The argument underneath it is that good models are necessary, but no longer sufficient, to deliver an agent that runs for hours. You also need fast hardware, a secure runtime, a responsive data layer, and a model tuned for long horizon reasoning. And Microsoft would very much like to own all of those margins rather than rent them. Now, a word of caution, because I want to be honest with you about what we don't yet know. Only one of these seven models arrived with an independent number attached. Artificial analysis benchmarked MAI Transcribe 1.5 the same week and clocked it at roughly 276 times real-time speed while still landing a 2.4% word error rate, third overall, and sitting right on the accuracy versus speed frontier. That's a genuine, defensible result. The flagship reasoner, MAI Thinking One, did not come with comparable public scores, so how it stacks up against the current leaders is still an open question. For now, the safe read is that Microsoft has bought itself a seat at the model building table and surrounded it with chips, a runtime, and developer tools. Whether the flagship can actually reason with the best of them is a number we're all still waiting for. Moving on to our second story, and we travel from a conference stage to the Oval Office. President Trump signed an executive order on advanced AI yesterday, and the striking thing about it is how little it asks. The order requests that certain AI companies voluntarily submit new models to the government for testing about 30 days before they're released to the public. An earlier draft had asked for that review as much as 90 days ahead, and the industry had pushed for something closer to 2 weeks. So the final 30-day figure splits the difference, and crucially, it stays voluntary. The most consequential language in the document is what it forbids. It states plainly that nothing in the order authorizes any mandatory licensing, preclearance, or permitting requirement for developing, publishing, or releasing new AI models, including frontier models. In other words, the administration didn't just decline to build a licensing regime. It affirmatively slammed the door on one. It pairs that hands-off posture on development with a harder line downstream, directing the Department of Justice to treat AI-assisted hacking and unauthorized access as a high-priority enforcement area. The path to the signing tells you almost as much as the text. Trump had been set to sign a tougher version in late May, with a row of Silicon Valley chief executives standing behind him, but he delayed it after pushback from the industry, including from the venture capitalist and former White House AI advisor, David Sachs. At the time, the president said he didn't want to do anything that would slow American companies in the race against China. When the softened version finally arrived, the ceremony was scrapped and he signed it privately. This isn't his first move here. Back in December, he signed an order pushing for a single national AI rulebook meant to preempt the growing patchwork of state laws, and yesterday's order continues in exactly that direction. Federal, pro-deployment, light touch. For those of us who build and study these systems, the near-term practical effect is small. There's no new compliance gate, no mandatory red teaming, no office to register your model with. The significance is directional. The United States has now formally chosen voluntary commitments over binding pre-market controls for its most capable models, and that choice is the regulatory baseline everything else will be measured against. Third up is OpenAI, with a quieter announcement that I think matters more than its volume suggests. OpenAI is repositioning Codex, which began life as a coding tool, into something meant for white-collar work generally. It released 6 plugins aimed at specific jobs: data analytics, creative production, sales, product design, equity investing, and investment banking. Each one runs inside the Codex app and bundles the integrations, the instructions, and the context that let the agent approximate a particular role straight out of the box. The numbers behind the move explain the strategy. OpenAI says Codex now has more than 5 million weekly active users, up more than 6-fold since the desktop app launched in February. Developers are still the largest group, but knowledge workers already make up about 20% of users and are growing more than 3 times as fast. So, the company's following its own growth, building role-shaped products for the analysts and bankers and designers who are showing up anyway. 2 smaller features caught my eye. A new site's capability lets Codex hand back its work as a hosted, interactive website instead of a file on your disk, with launch partners including Wix, Replit, Figma, and others. And a new annotations feature lets you point at a specific part of a document and issue a tightly scoped command against just that piece. OpenAI also said it will soon merge Codex and ChatGPT into a single surface, collapsing the awkward split between its consumer chat product and its agent. The subtext throughout is Anthropic. Reporting yesterday traced this whole push back about 18 months, to the moment Anthropic's Claude code preview made it clear the smaller rival had pulled ahead of OpenAI in coding, which is when OpenAI stood up the dedicated team under Thibault Socio that built all of this. Anthropic launched its own enterprise agents in February and a finance-specific set in May, so what we're watching is 2 labs racing to package agentic capability into products a non-engineer can actually pick up. The enterprise is where the durable revenue is expected to live, and both of them know it. And for our 4th and final story today, Anthropic again, but on a very different front, with a program that is half product and half public health intervention for the world's software. Anthropic announced its roughly quadrupling Project Glasswing, the effort that gives selected partners access to its Claude Mythos model to hunt for security vulnerabilities at scale. The program grows from the 50 or so partners that had access in early April to about 150 new organizations. The motivation is a concrete result. That first cohort has already used Mythos to surface more than 10,000 high or critical severity security flaws in their own code. The new partners were chosen for systemic importance. They span more than 15 countries and cover industries that were thin in the first round: power, water, healthcare, communications, and hardware, and many of them are vendors whose code other organizations and governments quietly depend on. Anthropic's own framing is stark. For most of these partners, it estimates a major attack could affect more than 100 million people. The deeper argument is about timing. Anthropic believes that cheap, fast models with strong offensive cyber capabilities are close, that within 6 to 12 months, other labs will have Mythos-class systems, and that some may release them without safeguards against misuse. So it wants to get powerful defensive tools into the hands of the people protecting critical infrastructure before that day arrives. It's also signaling a shift in its own role, from finding vulnerabilities toward helping disclose, fix, and patch them, since verification and patching, not discovery, are now the bottleneck. To that end, it pointed to Claude Security, a product built on its public models like Claude Opus 4.8 that scans code and suggests fixes. And then came the line I keep turning over. Anthropic admitted that to release Mythos-level capability to everyone, it would need safeguards precise enough to allow defensive use while blocking attacks, and that it has not yet built those safeguards, and to its knowledge, neither has anyone else. The whole expansion is a bet that arming the defenders now buys a durable advantage before the same capability spreads without any controls at all. So what does the day add up to? Step back, and the four stories are really one story about boundaries being drawn. Microsoft is drawing a boundary around its whole stack, deciding it would rather own the silicon and the runtime than rent the intelligence. OpenAI and Anthropic are drawing boundaries around the enterprise, racing to turn raw capability into products that a banker or a security team can use without assembling the scaffolding themselves. And Washington, with that executive order, drew a boundary, too, around how far it's willing to reach into all of this, which for now is barely at all. Platforms tightening their grip, governments loosening theirs. If you want the detail behind any of these, the full digest has the numbers, the sources, and the rest of the day's reading, including some genuinely sharp work on agents and speculative decoding that didn't make the top four. That's where I'll leave you. Keep reading the papers, keep an eye on who's building what underneath the headlines, and I'll be back tomorrow morning with whatever the night brings. Take care of yourselves.